Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today we are joined by a very special guest to actually go more in depth on a topic that we have discussed within the context of a variety of conversations over the last 4 years that we've existed as a podcast, but we've never had an episode dedicated just to men. Men, leadership from men, strength from men, men in the home as fathers, husbands, as leaders in our community. And if you know Kristen, Amy, and I, you know that all three of us are married, we are mothers, and we really do, we have seen firsthand the importance of having our husbands be the men that they are, be the leaders that they are. We've also seen the challenges of their leadership with us and with their kids. And we've seen it. And the reason we want to talk about this is it has been, I think it comes up in the news all the time, right? When you see crime statistics, particularly in younger children, but we know for sure it's undeniable that the absence of a father in a home has a tremendous impact on our culture. And the reason why we really want to bring this back into conversation, we believe this is a huge part of the solution to healing the culture. And we want to give more conversation around it. And certainly, I mean, even just seeing it here in Charlotte, well, we live in North Carolina, but in Charlotte, there was the stabbing of the Ukrainian refugee on the train this week, right? By a man who was clearly in and out of, he'd been arrested 14 times, girls, I want to say. I mean, this guy should have been locked up a long time ago. Certainly we know mental illness, spiritual something going on in this dude to make him do something to a very innocent woman sitting alone on a train. And again, not to say I don't know that man's background, but every time we see troubled people, there's a high percentage likelihood that a man is not in his life, was not in his home. And that's why we've got to bring this back into conversation, normalize these conversations, and stop demonizing men and their role in society, in the home, and certainly in its impact that impacts all of us, even if you have a husband and father in the home. So with us today, we are so excited to have the leadership dad. That's kind of his tagline. Tom Fanner is with us, or Thomas. He goes by both. But you're going to be hearing more from Tom because he has a book coming out called, I think it's called Dads Who Lead. You guys are going to want to definitely check that out. We're going to let Tom talk about that. But Tom, first of all, we love your story. So we would actually like you to start, you know, at the beginning in your life where you realize the importance of your role and how you champion other people to do that. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, first off, it's an honor to be here. It's just even the first few minutes of the episode, it's a lot of fun. I can tell us it's going to be a blast. I was a middle school PE teacher for 7 years. And in my time in the schools, I saw that there was this gap between what kids were getting in the classroom, especially the young men, and what they really need to be successful later on in life. And what I saw was schools do a really good job of helping the young men and women learn how to do tasks for other people. Don't spend a lot of time teaching them how to do tasks for themselves and how to lead themselves. And so as a result, we have 52% of young people between the ages of 18 and 29 living at home with their parents in this country. And I was like, wow, this is a major problem. And I know I'm not going to be able to like change everything, but I felt called to start to make a change. So I started putting together a father-son retreat program that would bring light to some of the issues that are truly holding back young men. And then as a result of this too, a lot of dads would get interested for their sons, but they realize how much their leadership evolved as well when they went through this. And through this process, this is where the story gets really intense. So my son, he was born when I was 18. He was living with me full time when I launched this program in 2021. And in 2022, he said, "Dad, I'm tired of being controlled. I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I'm moving in with mom across state. Peace out." And so here I like put everything into creating this father-son retreat experience, and my own teenage son walks out of my life. And it just, well, it was crushing because first off, having my son not be close to me and not be able to influence him was really challenging. And he was a great big brother. He is still a great big brother for my daughter, Maddie, and since Leela. And my wife and I were like, all right, well, you know, what's next? And there was really no one else to look to change. I couldn't talk to Charles's teachers because he was at a new school across the state. I couldn't change Charles. The only one left to turn to was me. So I had to really rewrite my own leadership as a dad and how I was guiding him to create a style that he was willing to lean into in his teenage years. And so that's really where the origin of our retreat and Dads Who Lead came from.
Well, I love that you looked at it from, I mean, gosh, this is like problem solving genius right here. When you go, what can I control? I cannot control the feelings of this child. I can't control those, but I can perhaps investigate what I can do differently that will resonate with my son to help bring us back closer together. And by the way, Tom, let me just say, as a mom of a now 19 and 26-year-old boys, and now I have a daughter-in-law, so I count her as my girl too. But I want to tell you something. They go through this phase in their teen years, even the best kids with the best relationships with their parents. There's the pulling away season is what I call it. I think it's by design, by God, for them to start establishing that independence, but it can be messy.
Yes.
And a lot of times the way that they vocalize, I don't want to be controlled anymore. It's not just a rebellious spirit necessarily. Is they're designed to start to stand on their own, and they're not always emotionally mature enough to understand what's happening to them. And as parents, we're not equipped sometimes to understand it's not personal, you know, but you do have, as the parent, as the leader, you got to figure out how to bridge the gap.
Yes.
And bring them together. So what did you do to get your son to not want to get away from you?
Great. Phenomenal question. It started with a shift in my heart. And because as men, we go through life and we figure out stuff the hard way. Okay. If I wake up early, get exercise in, I do my assignments, I, you know, do all that, you know, and I was a very involved dad. I was coaching Charles's football team. I was helping him find work. It wasn't as if I was not engaged, but there was a space where I was putting him in a position to be successful in what I saw success to look like. And the paradigm shift that I had was, I'm no longer helping this young man be successful on my own boat. I'm helping him create, you know, really steer his own ship. And that's where I think the root word of ownership comes from. It's your own ship. Mm. And so I had to be like, as a dad and as a leader, all right, how can I help understand? First off, I have to be a great listener to understand what's happening in Charles's world. Because as any other form of leadership, we're all moving in the same direction. For you all three as a podcast, I imagine that you have a clear vision and like, we're all going here together. And with our kids, it's opposite. They're going in a different direction and we have to lead them remotely through understanding what's happening the best that we can. And so that was the biggest shift was now as a leader, I spend 90% of the time just working to understand what's going on with Charles. He's just about to turn 18 here in the next few weeks. And then from that space, I can give him any small amount of guidance that he might be helpful and that he's willing to let sit on his heart. And then ultimately, he's got to make the best decision for himself.
Well, I do have another question for you. And I want Amy to talk about how she found you because she can speak to this as well right now. She's in the thick of that. She's been in the thick of that. I want to know, you must have, I'm going to assume, because I've witnessed this in my own parenting, you must have started to make your son feel like he had a little more autonomy or a little more control of his own life and a little more freedom somewhere in his life to not keep resisting you. So do you want to talk about maybe what that looked like? Or like, I mean, I love that you were like, hey, I started to look at things from his point of view, but could you share with our audience some of the things that perhaps you shifted a little bit that started drawing him back in and didn't make him want to push so hard?
Yeah. You know, it's really sad. Actually, I don't share this very often, but one of the things that I did was one of the ways that we connected when he was younger, like fourth through seventh, eighth grade, was football. I coached his football team. He has like football, some football players that he liked. And now it's shifted more to MMA, but we like find common grounds. So that's one thing is like, if you're listening to this podcast, like, all right, what are the common grounds? And hopefully as a dad, you've kind of established that in the first 10 to 15 years before there's that pull away, but there's hopefully a safe place for you where you all can just connect more as, and this is where I get controversial because I believe we can be friends with our kids and parents. And some people say that they're different, but if we can, if we don't have some type of connection, it's very hard to buy time with our kids. If we don't have something when they're 16 years old that they like to do with us, it's very hard to manufacture something at that stage in the game.
That's such a, and that's so important because we all know that when, because I'm with you on this one. I always say, when I sent my kids out of my nest, they became my friends because I could do less parenting and more focus more on our friendship. But make no mistake, we had a friendship. It was the foundation of so much of our relationship. We enjoyed the same things. My husband golfs with them. I love football, watching sports with them. My boys like to do certain amounts of shopping with me. Like we had our hobbies together.
Yes.
And that's what you go back to when things get tough. It's like, all right, well, let's forget what we're fighting about. Do you want to go catch a game? You want to go, you know, do you want to do this? And it rebonds you. And I do think you're right. You do want a friendship with your kids. It does not supersede the parent relationship where you're also their protector. Because I always taught my kids, your boundaries are to keep you safe. I don't want you to have rules. Okay. I don't want to give you a single rule. I don't like rules either. I don't want a rule just for a rule. But if there's a rule I've laid down, it's to protect you. And I will lay that rule down as long as you need the protection. And as long as you can handle the freedom that you've been given, I'll let you have the freedom. When you show me you can't manage that freedom, I'm going to take some of it away because you're not ready for it. And I think that served us so well through those rocky teen pulling away years is we had those foundations to go back to when times got messy and yucky and we were yelling. And you know, I have boys, so I parent them differently where I'm like, I will take you out right now. You ready to do this? Let's go. Like I got there a few times, you know, but we love each other and we had that, the foundations to always go back to. So Amy, I know that you found Tom for us. So do you want to share a little more of like your story and how Tom stepped in? Because I think people are going to want to do exactly what you did with their kids. Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we're excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
Good.
Yes. So I found Thomas when I was just kind of at my wit's end, because my husband and my 16, well, he's 17 now, but 16, you know, they've always had a little bit of a oil and water relationship through the years. But as he's gotten to the teenage years, you know, and the whole pulling away and the not talking and things, you know, he's obviously changed. Chad, my husband, didn't really know kind of how to handle that. And so when you're talking about going from parenting to leading, it's like there is a shift that has to happen. You're so used to parenting your kids when they're little to shifting over to this, like, I'm not really parenting them so much anymore, or trying to control them so much anymore. And that's hard for moms and dads, but to just try to figure out that shift or even realize that it needs to happen. And then like the not taking things personally, you know, there's feelings of like a Chad just wants to be a great dad. Like all he wants is to be a great dad. And he has spent their whole childhoods finding common interests, doing things with them. And so when he and Carson would have these issues and he would come to me, we'd talk about it. And I am just like, I want to fix it. I don't know how. I try to give him advice, but it seemed like it was like a broken record. Like we kept, it would get good for a little while and then there'd be a backslide. And then we'd talk about it and I still wouldn't have an answer. And so finally one day I was like, I just went to my computer and I was like, father, son, go getaway. It's like father, son retreat of some sort. And you know, when I first was Googling, it was hard. Like I feel like everything that I was finding was more, you know, church-based camps for kids who are in elementary school with their dads. And that is probably the perfect time to go do something like that. We did not do that. So now here I am with a 16-year-old. I'm like, is there anything out there for him? Is there anything out there for us? And I stumbled across Thomas's website. And what is the name of your, is it dadswholead.com?
Dads Who Lead.
dadswholead.com. And everything, if y'all go to that website, I'm telling you, you'll read everything he says. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. And what sold me was it was bonding through common adventure. Chad and Carson loved their physical. They loved to do things. And like you said, having that common ground of liking to having hobbies together, that is what has kept them close. Like they golf together, they surf together. They'll do any, you know, any kind of mountain biking together. Any kind of active thing. Like you, I know you say on your website, like guys don't just resolve their issues sitting across from each other at a kitchen table. It is better to have them working towards a common goal in an adventure or physical way. And so when I saw that this retreat had like whitewater rafting, mountain biking, and like all these challenging adventures that they could do together, I called Thomas. He called me like 30 minutes later, right away. We had a long conversation. He's such a great listener. Like he listened to me several times, just, I mean, word vomiting all of our problems out. There were a couple times I didn't even know if I was going to get them on the plane because when I booked the retreat, it was like a year until it actually, or like 9 months. So it was a long time in between. It wasn't like, oh, I'm doing this and they're leaving tomorrow. It was, there was a lot of ups and downs within that season before they actually went. And Thomas had to talk me through some of those times, but they actually made it on the plane and it's all the way in Oregon. So I sent them from the coast of North Carolina to almost the coast of the West Coast, but they had a wonderful time. I feel like it was so good for them. I loved seeing what all they did and, you know, learning about the things that they kind of talk about, not just for Chad, but for Carson too. And it was just really an impactful experience. And I know that we've had conversation, Thomas, about just keeping that common bond of having things that they like to do together. And so that's what we always try to focus on with them for sure.
Amazing.
And Thomas, how did you set, okay, so I know you learned from your own experience and also teaching, being a teacher in the schools where you could see where their gap was. How did you decide you're going to start this camp or this experience? And like what all went into that, you know, and kind of what was your, I mean, obviously your end goal was to bond dads and their kids back together. How did you make this happen?
Well, first just faith and love in God and Jesus and his guidance. Looking back, I have an accountability partner I meet with every week. And I think it was in like around 2020 where I had this, kids aren't learning what they need. Men aren't learning what they need sitting behind a desk. Like we need to be out next to a fire on the side of a mountain. That's where the learning needs to happen. And that's where these conversations need to happen. And so I wanted to create an experience that allowed kids to access a higher level of themselves. And I do believe like it takes, and that's why like when I'm scouting for places to put these events on, I'm looking intentionally for spots that have bad cell phone reception, things that force kids to get unplugged from the norm, like all of the, you're sleeping in a tent and people are like, well, that's so cheap. Why don't we like have to be able to like stay in a hotel? Like, well, you can do that. And to interrupt the brain of what's happening to create this bonding and a challenge together, we've got to create an environment that's pulling a different version out of both the dad and the son. And through going through those adventures and creating the trust, because we only bring about 6 families per event, creating the trust, whether it's rock climbing or whitewater rafting, from that space, we can then go into conversations about, all right, what are you seeing? What does it mean to be masculine today? And then not from the space of, oh, let me tell you the answers, but I want to hear from the young men, what is it to you?
What is it to them? Can I ask you that? In this new generation?
Yes.
What is, because it's gotten distorted, what is masculine to them?
Great question. Every kid's different. But I will say there is a consistency that masculinity from the kids that have come on our retreats, which we've done this next year in 2026, will be our 6th year. Leadership, confidence, providing, protecting, as they really start to think about it for themselves and what's in their heart and not what society is feeding them, they come up with a lot of really core biblical principles. And I say biblical because that's like the truth of where it's coming from.
Yeah.
But we don't have like a direct, like, hey, we're going to look at James chapter 1 today, you know, because depending on where the kid is in their journey, they may not be, it might like repel them away. We want to give a space where it's like very open layout for them to explore themselves, explore their spirituality, wherever they're at.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing that kind of goes along with everything that you're saying. I think I've heard you on another maybe podcast saying this, where shifting from, and this is where all parents, I feel like shifting from the control to being an influence. And I think that's where it's just like shifting from being a parent to a leader or more in the mentor role or something like that. Like that's your guide. That's who you can come to. I love that. And then it also sounds like, you know, I think you've talked about, maybe there's a chapter in your book. I've heard you talk about like that the woman, you know, the mom will usually be more the comfort person, yes, the care, whereas the guys are like the, you know, they're there to make you uncomfortable. Although I kind of take both of those roles with my kids sometimes, but I definitely am like, you know, we are definitely more the nurturers for sure, especially my house.
Yes.
But you do, you're putting them in an environment on these retreats, they're going to be uncomfortable. It's something different. And that is where you grow, you know, like when you are out of your comfort zone and in a different environment. So I love that you do this. And I honestly had no idea that, because I've heard your story a couple different times, but I guess I just didn't even know that when he decided to like leave, I did not know you had already started this. I mean, that is so crazy, but also so amazing that you kept going and that this, I mean, that just shows just a huge testament to like, you had this vision, you stuck with this and you knew that this is what people needed. And I know that Chad and Carson, like that was so good for them. So, I mean, I think that's awesome. And I do want to point out one thing, like our husbands, Amy and I are married to brothers, if people don't know.
Wow.
One thing that I do love is that we have a farm and they will take, that is where I feel like so much of this, the bonding can be from that. And it's pretty amazing that even just the dads will take all the kids, you know, there and they love it. And they do the fire, you know, ride the 4-wheelers and the side by side and shoot guns. And like, they figure things out. They build things. I mean, I love that. So they have that, but that also is like, which kids go, you know, we get to the point where like our older ones, and I don't have as much of a say yet. I have an older daughter. So, you know, if y'all have any help with the teenage daughters, I'll take that. But luckily she's really good for the most part, but you know, we've got the drama, but I've got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old boy. So I know I'm going to be going through this and I love hearing all of this. And I just think we do need more dads that step into this role. We just really do.
Well, Tom, what are you seeing? Okay. So I mean, obviously, as we said at the beginning of the podcast, the statistics don't lie, and that the absence of men in their homes and as leaders in society has had an effect on all of us, you know? And what are you seeing, since this is your sixth year of really kind of facilitating these events?
Yes.
What are you seeing happening in these men as they recognize their role in maybe the demise of their relationship with their child, or maybe what they didn't do? And then are they having these awakenings, and are they changing course because they see where they messed up?
Like, yeah, what are the top things that you see that dads were doing or that dads do that make them, that get them to this point where they need this? Like, you know, cause I know some of the things that, like, for example, like anytime your son shares something with you, are you quick to just like start lecturing about the topic, or, you know, like feel like you want to, you know, instead of just like listening and asking them questions about stuff? Like, one thing I wish, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I was telling Kristen the other day, you know, Carson had a phase of life where he was super into video games, you know, and we spent all of our time resisting and hating it so much that it caused so many fights, so many arguments. And I'm like, gosh, if we could go back, like if Chad just has no interest, you know, but if he could go back, and if we could go back and just be like, hey, what are you playing? Like, how do you do that? Like, he was so passionate about it, and he wanted to show us, you know, he wanted us to see how good he was at this game and stuff. And we'd be like, get off, you know? And it's like, I wonder how the relationship could have been different if we would have like leaned in to what he loved versus resisting it so much. So I don't know if that goes along with some of the things that you see, Thomas, but.
Yes, please.
Great question. So just to clarify, Holly, what you're saying is like, what are the sticking points in the leadership of the dads coming in that they have an awakening with?
Yes. What are they like going, oh man, yeah, let me do that.
I believe that the biggest shift is when they surrender. Part of the experience is surrendering control, because you're saying, all right, I am no longer going to be in charge of the vacation, the development. I am going to go, and I'm going to be side by side with my son moving through it. So it's not, when we do these events, it's not like sons are doing one thing, dads are doing something else. Everything that the sons are doing, the dads are doing as well. So I'll share a story with you that I think will kind of dig into this point and the shift that happens in the relationship. And it's not so much a specific thing that they're doing differently. It's a heart check of where they're leading themselves as men, as the dads. So we had, this was two summers ago. His name was JD. And it's, I talk about this some in my book as well. His son was Tristan. And the first activity we do in Oregon is whitewater rafting. So we go down the Willamette River, or it's the McKenzie River. We pull off to the side and there's a rock. It's about 15 foot off the ground. You can jump. It's deep. Everybody's got a life jacket on. They're jumping in, having a good time. Some people are doing backflips. And dad, JD, goes up and he's up there. And he's just, this is their first time doing a water adventure together. And he's just looking down at the water. And it feels like it's about 15 minutes. It was probably only like 3 or 4, but it feels like a long time. Well, you can see it's hard for him. And finally, he makes the jump and everybody's cheers, is super excited and stoked, congratulates him when he gets out. Well, the next morning, JD shares that was the first time that he had jumped into water in 40 years. Because when he was 4 years old, his uncle threw him into the swimming pool and he drowned. And he was saved with CPR. And so this was a huge step, because this wasn't dad saying, hey, son, go jump off the rock. This was dad like, I'm struggling through life too. I deal with fears. But in that moment, he had the choice to say, I'm not going to let fear govern my decision or my decisions from this point forward. I am going to act through faith and jump, and my son is going to see me overcome this. Mm. And so the dads that get the most out of the experience are the ones who are willing to go into it with their full heart, hoping that they are going to grow as men, not change their sons.
Well, going into it as a fellow human being and not just the dad of the kid who probably wants very little to do with you at this point in life, right? Because they're in that phase. And let me just say, I think that is a huge part of conversation. Something I've learned to do with my boys is to talk to them as people. You know, I think it's so easy. Listen, as a mom, I've talked to them like they're my children too, but when you're really in conflict or you're trying to resolve some or help your kid, just speaking to them with respect for them being another human being, demonstrating respect to them so they demonstrate it back, modeling that behavior, but also saying to your son, hey, I have my own challenges too from living in this world. And I have my own fears, my own past experiences that are also influencing the way I'm seeing things and the way I'm feeling. And I'll share with you some of that. This is why I'm struggling here, because I recognize this. And that really requires you being in touch with who you are and what your challenges are so that you can just, because I found that honesty with my kids makes them empathetic to me. And instead of saying, she's my mom or he's my dad and they didn't do this right, it's like, well, that's my mom, that's my dad, and they're human and they're not going to be perfect. And I had this amazing experience, and I want to share this since we're talking especially about the dads, where my own father, he had a hard dad. His dad had an eighth grade education, dropped out of school to raise his siblings when his mother passed away. Not an easy life, farm life here in North Carolina, very rural. And my grandpa was a great man, but he could not probably even tell my dad he loved him, you know? And then my dad has three girls and no sons. And I was the son. I was the firstborn. He didn't know what he was doing with me. Of course, none of us do. But he, when I turned 18, had a spiritual experience from having lost his dad. There's something about that transition in life where he became very introspective and came to me and apologized. He said, I've rejected you your whole life, but I didn't mean to. I thought I was making you stronger. I thought what I was doing was going to help you, but I see that I've just hurt you and pushed you away. Now, I had this gift of having a father own his stuff, apologize for it, and try to heal me from it. There's no undoing the past, but what it did allow for was forgiveness. And I see my dad as a human who also had his own struggles, and he brought to the table what he had. And when you can live in compassion with your children and your children can live in compassion with you, it does help heal when things get challenging. And today, my dad is the most amazing grandfather, and he is the rock of our family. He's the one that has taught us how to be better parents through a lot of the things that you're sharing, Tom. And I know that's such a gift, but I just want to say, parents, if you feel like you screwed it up, it's never too late to admit it, to own it, and to try to help your child where they are today, even if they're a grown adult, to try to heal from those things and to just become better because of it, right? Because I do think sometimes parents live in regret, but I think what you can do instead is own it in humility and say, man, I got that wrong. But, you know, but then you can be there to support whatever the consequences are of the way that you parented that kid. Because I think on the flip side of it, Tom, we also have this permissive parenting, which isn't strength either. So when you're just no boundaries, no rules, well, that's not parenting either. And that's not good parenting. And it's finding that line of protective parenting that gives room for them to not want to rebel, because control always breeds rebellion. We know this. Giving them enough wiggle room by also protecting them, it's not easy. But I'm thankful for you and voices like yours that are helping parents figure that out. And so now you've written a book based on your experiences. So do you want to tell us a little bit about when that's coming out and what that's about?
Yes, it's going to be dropping on Amazon September 26th, which is my son's 18th birthday.
Yay! Yeah.
And the goal of this book is for fathers, or mothers can read it too. It is written to fathers, but mothers will benefit from it as well. To understand the cycle of teenage rebellion, what it is, why it happens, and then also what they can do to reverse the cycle. And there is, like we've talked about, a natural pulling away, an evolution of going to the next phase of life, that we're no longer underneath our parents' roof. What I've found from my experience with Charles that can be dangerous is if kids feel so trapped that they are just wanting to do the opposite of whatever their parents are saying.
Yeah.
Blindly running in the, you know, running east instead of going west. So the book talks about how to be strategical in this phase so that you can take ownership yourself, like I talked about with JD, like leading himself, earn respect with your kids so that you can have a mutually strong relationship and then finding common adventures that you can continue to share, not just during these teenage years as they're in middle and high school, but hopefully continue to do with them throughout the course of their life.
I love that. Well, I can't wait for people to read it. And I'll say, you know, that reminds me too, when my dad was given the apologies over the years, he said, I wish I had asked you to be home at a certain time when you were a teenager rather than telling you and then being furious. Like, I remember one time I was like a minute late and it was like all hell broke loose. You know, it was that control. It was the control thing. And he said, I just wish I'd asked you because you wanted to do the right things. You actually, I could tell you weren't trying to make my life difficult. You just wanted freedom to be you. I wish I'd asked you. And so when I was raising my teen boys, they didn't have a curfew. It was always discussed. What are you doing? Who are you with? And hey, you're going to respect me enough to tell me where you are, when you're coming home, and then doing when you said you'll be home. And I'm not saying that's going to work, you know, perfectly for everyone. For us, it really did. Where my kid, I asked my firstborn several years in college, I said, why didn't you just go off the rails ever? Like, you've just always kind of, and he said, I didn't have anything really to rebel against because we had rules and we had standards and those standards did not change. But we were trying to give him freedom as he could handle it maturely without just exasperating him. I was a very exasperated child, so I rebelled. Finding that line to where you're not exasperating them, you're giving them enough freedom.
Yes.
While also saying, I'm still the parent and I'm still going to protect you. And if I lay it down, it's for your protection. Not out of my fear, not out of my own damage. It's a because I know that this needs to be around you right now at this point in your life. Parenting is not easy.
No, it is really, it is such a mind, you know what?
Yes. Like, we need Thomas on, I need Thomas on speed dial, like, daily.
Did we ever answer the question about, like, the video game thing or what to do, like, if you really were trying to resist, like?
Yeah, like, what did you see, like, with dads who, like, what are their biggest struggles? What are they doing wrong? I hate to say, what are they doing wrong? But you know what I mean. What are most dads doing that you're like, this is a better way to keep a connection?
Or like the tipping point for them going, or, you know, like, what do you see most, or maybe what's your most, your craziest experience? I don't know. I like hearing that stuff.
Yeah. Every family is different. It's very, you know, often subtle. There are two ends, and y'all have, especially Holly has talked about this. There's the end where the dad's like, well, I just go in his room and he's playing his video games and I leave and I don't really know how to influence or change what he's doing. Like, they've kind of just unplugged from leading the relationship. And I tell folks, you don't lead your kids. You aren't the leader of your kids anymore, but you are the leader of your relationship with your kids.
That's right.
The other side is where it's like super strict. And this is where it's getting hard because kids have so much choice with what to watch, what to eat, where to go. Like, the amount of freedom that my kids have now, even my 3 and 6 year old, they could like, oh, I want to listen to this song, or I want to watch this Jesus video. You know, like, they want to hear or watch something, they can do it really quickly. As where when I was a kid, it was like, all right, well, I get home and I watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for 2 episodes, and then there's nothing on TV anymore, so I guess I'll do homework.
Yes.
And now there's just constant input. Again, every case is different. I think the biggest thing that I see is that dads really love their kids. The skill that's missing, that if this was really, really good, it would eliminate a lot of problems, is listening. Because especially as men, we learn how to do things. And we know, like, if we do A, B, and C, then we get this result. And we go through a lot of work as men to discover, I do these things, this is the result. I want that result for my kids because I love my kids. I don't want them to have to figure everything out that I did. But what's missed in trying to plug them into a program, which is the natural leadership style that we get through, whether you work, no matter what your job is, if you work retail or you work construction or you grew up in some type of education system, there's a program that you go through. And fatherhood is completely opposite, because kids today, they want to go through their own program. So we've got to be able to listen to know what's happening on their ship, like we've talked about. Who are their friends? Who are the characters that are on their ship? What are their goals? What are they trying to get to? And sometimes as we end up asking these things, the kids will be like, I never thought about actually where I'm going, or like, who are the characters? And as they tell stories, it doesn't matter if it's, oh, Sally did this funny thing at soccer practice. Okay, cool. Let me hear about Sal. What's this stupid thing that Sally did at soccer practice, doing the like a whoopee cushion or whatever? Because maybe later on, Sally's going to be an important story, or she's going to. So taking everything that's happening with our kids and understanding why it is. And Kristen had the question about video games. What I ask clients about with the video game problem is, what type of video games do they like first? Because that's going to tell you something about their heart. Do they like a shooter video game? Do they like a sport video game? Do they like a Minecraft? What is it that within them is satisfying? And then from that space, you can start to like, all right, well, if I'm going to take them out to do something or like unplug, I'm going to lean towards these types of activities. So understanding what it is, because the video games are really powerful because the mind believes that it's doing all these things. Like my dad, when he was young, he was born, he was actually 45 when I was born. So his generation, he's in his 80s now. He would go out in the woods and shoot birds with slingshots. But the kids today are doing the same thing. They're just doing it on a video game.
That's right.
Thinks it's the same experience, but the spirit and the body know that it's just fake.
It's not. Yeah. Right. It's a lot of the artificial, right? Whereas we really got to get back to the real, because the artificial is just not, it's just a substitute. It's not, I think there's just so much to be said for kids who are running around like we did, because all you had was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air TV, or in our case, I think, you know, it was the Saved by the Bell or something that was on TV that like, we didn't even have cable when I was growing up. So like literally we had three channels. That was right. Because my dad wouldn't have cable. Anyway, the funny thing is that we spent so much time being active, and that's just not where kids are now. And we all know the science behind activity and its relationship to the brain and to your psychological well-being, right? When movement, and that's one reason I love what you're doing, where you're like, we're just getting them out and they're hiking and they're biking and they're, because movement is its own kind of medicine. And it's kind of amazing what it does to the brain and what it taps into, rather than, like you said, sitting at a table, sitting still and staring at each other, you know? And so I do think that's another component, parents. If you really want to start getting the best out of your kids, make it to where they're making the choice to go outside and move, or they're making the choice to, and I don't just mean practices where that's also controlled, right? Where that's also like, you got to do this, you got to be under the direction. I mean, running around in the yard, building a fort, or playing kickball in the yard, where they have to come up with their own creative ideas of how they're going to use their time. But if they're given the chance, I find that kids still do what we did. Yep. If you take away what all the other options, the human body still wants to do the same things, still wants to imagine, still wants to be creative, it still wants to move, it still wants to build, it yep. still wants to break things, shoot things, you know, watch things explode. I mean, all those things.
Go get a slingshot.
You know, and so parents are really as just three moms and a dad sitting here telling you, like, there are ways that you can set up some buffers that doesn't feel restrictive to your kid, but like putting some boundaries. I always set a timer on the video games. We had a little baker's clock timer, and they went in there and they hit it, and they knew when that timer's up, your time's done. You got to wrap this up. And then what? Then they had to. And also, can I just say, moms, I don't believe in being the cruise director every day either. Like, yeah. I have got my own stuff to do. Like, get outside, figure it out. Don't y'all think? Like,
yes.
Let's just put it in their court to find and entertain themselves. It's amazing what they'll do when they have to.
It's also hard. It's hard work.
It is. Yes. It really is. Well, Tom, we are so thankful that you are doing what you're doing, that you're putting this book out there so people have more access to your insight and your information. Dads Who Lead, guys, is coming out on September, what'd you say?
26.
We will definitely link it into our social media so that you guys can access that as well, but also his website. And for those of you, if you have dads, and I'm assuming this is just dads and sons right now, Tom, right? There's not anything really for.
Yes, I've got an ebook I'm working on for setting up your own father-daughter experience. That's in the works. So stay tuned. If you get into our email list, you'll stay tuned with that. And eventually, as this mission grows, I'd like to do some father-daughter work, but right now it's just father-son.
Yeah.
Well, you're starting in a good place. And we know that the father-daughter, that's a whole nother can of worms, but it is a very important one. It's so important. I really believe that women find they find their self-worth in the way their father sees them and the way that he loves them. There's something so powerful about that. So thank you, Tom, for being here. Parents, go check him out. And make sure, obviously, and also just know, parents, well, we're going to tell you, like we said, it's the hardest job in the world, but it's the most important job. That's most important that we do it to the best of our abilities. And there's always hope. There's always help somewhere when you seek out and find it. And really, I also believe this, parents, that God puts into you the ability to lead your kids in the way that they're supposed to go. And you can learn to start trusting that and knowing. For those of you who feel like you're incompetent and you don't know what you're doing, I truly believe when God gives you that kid, he gives the ability to have the wisdom and tap into the wisdom to know how to raise them.
And that's good to find people like Thomas to help us tap into that God-given ability that we have. Because sometimes it feels hard and foreign and far away and buried. And, you know, it's just, I just highly recommend, like, you know, like Holly said, if you need help, seek help. I got on that computer and I found him. I found my help. So I appreciate it so much.
And they loved it.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.